Good morning. It's good to see you. Welcome. Glad you're here in the house of the Lord today. Today's a great day to be alive and to be with God's people. Let's pray. God, we come into your presence right now, acknowledging you, submitting to you as our Lord and our Savior, our glorious Savior. We worship you. We sing to you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace that you have showered upon us. We're so undeserving, but yet you love us in spite of that. You sent Jesus to be our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins, making us right with you. Pray right now that you'll fill each one with your Spirit. Give us your peace and your power to live, the power of the resurrection. Bless each one that's here and help us, Lord, to bring glory and honor to your name during this service as we leave this place. And in our jobs and in our work this week, at school for the children, for the young people, that you'll just strengthen them as well. Help us to be your witness. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite hymns, 122, Glorious is Thy Name. Would you stand and let's worship the Lord together, sing this great song.
Want to welcome you to our 10:30 traditional worship. Already met some guests this morning. Glad that you're here and worshiping with us today at First Baptist Church. Take a few moments and wander around. Welcome your friends. Glad to have you today.
Goes along with what Brother Frank's going to share and what goes along with what Brother Joel's going to share. It won't be found in your hymnal, but it is found in the Baptist hymnal. Hymn number 375 in the Baptist hymnal, Make Me a Channel of Blessing. Many of you will remember it maybe from earlier days. If not, it's one worth learning right now.
Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God? Are you telling the lost of the Savior?
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, thanking you for all your many blessings and your watch care over us. Pray this morning for those of our church family that are unable to be here because of sickness. Pray, Father, that you would give them a good day. Now, Father, we pray this morning that you would bless each one that is here. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would receive a great blessing from our attendance here today. Now, Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for all the things that you've given us. And Father, this is the time when we can give back to you a portion of that which you've so graciously and generously given to us. Bless the gift and the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, church.
Thank you.
want you to sing that chorus with me. Great is thy faithfulness. You know it. Sing it, church, with me now. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy morning by morning. Grateful for God's mercy and His favor every single day. And I'm glad to know that His mercies are new every single day. So undeserved, but so thankful that I have that. I'm so thankful to be back at First Baptist today for 13 years now. I've had this opportunity around this time of the year just to come and share with you, for it was in January of 2012 that a service was in this room here, a service of consecration for the new ministry which God had called me to. After leaving a church staff position for most of my career, and then at the age of 60, the Lord said, "Wait, there's more." And completely changed gears to a ministry of faith and trusting God for His provision, which He has so faithful. And so for the last 13 years, I've been on the road all up and down Alabama. I think in December, I actually covered every single mile of every interstate in Alabama. I know where the Buc-ee's are, and pretty much every rest stop. One of my buddies in Birmingham calls me the James Spann of Alabama Baptist. So if y'all don't watch Birmingham TV anymore, but you know who James Spann is. Anyway, but I get the opportunity to share churches of all sizes. This past year, I had the opportunity to be in a church, two different churches. One had 15 on Sunday morning, the other one had 17. And I made a commitment a long time ago, church, that wherever I was, that I would give the same amount as I would for a group of 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 people, I would give the same amount of quality for a group of 15. Jesus said, "When you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And I hope and pray that I've been faithful to that call upon my life. Now, some of you in here said, "Well, who is this guy and why is he doing here today?" Well, I'm Frank Jones. I grew up here at First Baptist. This is my home church. I was saved here as a 9-year-older. I was called to ministry at the age of 16 here. And I surrendered to the ministry. And a lot of what I do today is what I learned and what I gathered and what was instilled in me as a child and as a student here at First Baptist Gunnersville. Usually in this service on Sunday morning 10, 12 years ago, there would be a lot of folks out here that were my teachers, and now they're with the Lord today. And I miss them dearly. But I look around and I see those who impacted my life. When I was 6, 7, 8 years old and training, you know, on Sunday night, Nan Kane was my teacher. And she and Vicki Hallman, can you believe I remember that? I can. And they taught that class on Sunday night. And for some reason, I don't know why I remember this, they taught us the hymn, "Yield Not to Temptation." for yielding his son. That's where I learned that hymn on Sunday night in training union there. And so many members, we were talking, some of us early before the early service, about the old Wednesday night suppers over here in the little auditorium, as we called it. This building years ago was called the big auditorium. So we had the little and the big. But I assure you that wherever I go, whatever I do, First Baptist Gunnersville is with me. Because I carry that message of what God did in my life here. And so I want to thank you for that. Over this past year, I've been in probably close to 75 different churches all across the Southeast. We've had events for senior adults with up to 1,000 people at them, which we're grateful for that. Also, this past year, I was elected to be a state missionary through our Alabama Baptist State Board of Missions, which the cooperative program supports. And I am the senior adult strategist for Alabama Baptist churches. And we have over 3,200 Alabama Baptist churches. And I don't consult with all of them, I promise you I don't. But a lot of them I do and connect with each year. And so I represent you in the work of the Lord out there, which I'm so thankful. Tomorrow, actually going to be an associational event up at First Baptist in Albertville for all the senior adults and Marshall Association. So if you qualify for that, come on. If you don't, you can come on anyway. It's fine. So it'll be fun. I'm reminded of the legacy of First Baptist Church in my heart. For when I was saved here and when I was called to ministry, for those who had an impact upon my life. And I assure you that wherever I go, I carry this church with me. And your gifts that help me to do what I do, be assured it's not, when you receive an offer today, it's not taken lightly. I treasure everything that is given me, that I try to do my best to make it usable for the sake of the kingdom. That's why I do this. And so I'm thankful for that. But I'm reminded also about the influence that people have had upon my life. Several years ago, I was doing an event up at Mount Calvary in Albertville. It was a state, what we call a senior adult singing. And all we do is sing hymns for 2 hours straight. We are tired when we get done. At least I am. But that's all we do is sing hymns. And we did this at Mount Calvary, and we were getting ready to start. And the place was pretty full, and these two ladies came walking on the side, took their seats right in the middle. And I kept looking and thinking, this is familiar. I just couldn't place who it was. And we went through the entire event. And during the last song, it dawned upon me who I was looking at right there. The older lady was a lady that many of you old First Baptist folks know by Latane Haynes, who was one of the most gifted soloists to ever stand on the platform at First Baptist Church through the years. There was not a Christmas without her singing O Holy Night. And with her was her daughter Sharon. And at that point, I think, you know, Latane has a bit of dementia, but she sang every single song that day. Now, what made that moment poignant to me was the fact that when I was 6 years old and just started in children's choirs, Latane was my choir teacher, was my director. And when I realized that was her, my emotions just came undone. And I stepped off the platform and went around and hugged her neck. And I said, I just now realized who I was singing to. And I said, I'm here because of you. Now let me tell you this, church. Someday, somewhere, somebody's going to be leading worship, teaching a Sunday school lesson, and they may look out and see you there, and they say, it's because of you that I'm doing what I'm doing today. For in the work of the kingdom, we never retire. There's always work to be done. And just as we sang that day, that song, that's where I want to lead into right now. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We'll get you to join me in just a moment. First church out of seminary was College Heights Baptist Church in Gadsden. I had a pastor by the name of Frank Samuels. You may have heard that last name before. He had a son, Joel. That son was a member of a group in our youth that we call the Junior Mafia. And why that doesn't surprise many of you in the room, but every Easter Sunday, at the close of his Easter sermon, Frank Samuels would sing, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. In church, we're going to sing that chorus in just a moment. But I want to remind you, because Christ lives, you can face the tomorrows of your life. Whatever that looks like. I'm grateful to know I have a mom and daddy who love me enough to say, you're going to church. There is no options available on the table. You will go. And I look out in the room here today, and there are some of you that I know you have those same mamas and daddies. And I'm grateful to know that because Christ lives, church, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he knows the future. My trust is in him. Come on, let's sing that chorus, Because He Lives. Sing it with me now.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Won't you sing it, church?
Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Because I know,
because I know, he holds the future.
And life is worth the living.
And life is worth the living. just because he lives.
Thank you, church. God bless you. Pastor.
Thank you so much, Frank. 13 years ago, Frank called and said, I feel the Lord leading me to do something else, to get out of the church staff music ministry and to hit the road. And asked me to be a part of the board of Frank Jones Ministries, and then said, and I would love to start this whole thing off at First Baptist Church. All right, so this is Frank's home church. Frank was my youth minister at College Heights Baptist Church in Gadsden. Years later, I become the pastor of First Baptist Church Gunnersville, where Frank grew up. So Frank then said, I would love to start off my home church where you, a part of my youth ministry, now the pastor of that church. And so that was 13 years ago, and he has traveled, I mean, hundreds of thousands of miles all over the state, southeast, but more so than just the southeast. He's traveled all over, sharing the gift that God has given to him. And so then every year, Frank always comes back home to First Baptist Gunnersville, and we have an opportunity then to join him in this thing called the ministry of sharing the gospel through music all over the southeast. And so glad that Frank's here today. When we're done, we'll have an opportunity to give a love offering. He's got things set up out there. You'll have an opportunity to be a part of that ministry. We'll talk about that a little bit more. All right, let's finish up our study of Philippians by going back to the beginning, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I said this morning in the early worship, you're probably going, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. He's going back to chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We're going to do this whole thing all over again. He just didn't think we got it the first time, so we're going to do it all over again. That's actually not true. I was telling the Wednesday night crowd, when we started this study in August the 28th, a Wednesday night, we looked at Philippians 1, 1 and 2. And then when we got to our first Sunday, September the 1st, we went to verse 3. I was just not I didn't feel good about the fact that we didn't have an opportunity to do verses 1 and 2 on a Sunday morning. The reason that I didn't feel good about that is because that is the foundation of everything that, Paul says. For example, last Sunday, the last two Sundays, we heard Paul say, I have learned to be content wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, doesn't matter. If I'm in jail, doesn't matter. If I have everything that I want, if I'm hungry and my stomach is empty, or if I'm full, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation I'm in, I have learned to be content in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on last Sunday to say, because I can do anything. I can go through, I can endure. Some of your translations, literally Philippians 4:13 is, I can endure anything because I am in Christ Jesus. Those words are foreign to the American ear. We struggle to hear that. We struggle to hear, I'm content in every situation if I've got everything or if I have nothing. If I'm full, if I'm empty, doesn't matter. I'm content in Jesus. I can do everything. It's very difficult for us to hear those words as an American, growing up in an American culture. But Paul could say that because what does he say first in verse 1? I am Jesus' slave. Well, if you have that as your foundation of life, I am a slave to Jesus, whatever he wants, wherever he puts me, whatever situation, I am his slave. I am literally owned by Jesus. Well, then all of a sudden you can say, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. You can say, I can go through anything because I'm Jesus' slave. Earlier in this letter that Paul writes, he says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul genuinely believed in this thing called heaven for all eternity. If you allow me to live, I'm going to preach the gospel and proclaim the good news. Even if it's in prison, I will proclaim good news gospel to the prison guards. If you kill me, I'm good. I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter to me. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So why can he say that? Because I'm Jesus' slave. I've got my eyes, my vision of life focused on Jesus and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of the resurrection. So we can go walk through all of Philippians in this letter that he writes to the church in Philippi. And then you can ask the question, how can he do that? I want to do that. I want to be so strong in my spiritual life. I want to grow to the point to where I'm so strong in my spiritual life that I can say these things just like Paul. How could he do that? Why? Because right here at the very beginning, I am a slave to Jesus Christ. Listen to what he writes. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including church leaders and deacons. May our God and Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So Paul calls himself and Timothy slaves. The Greek word is doulos. It means servant or slave in this situation. It means literally slave. And it refers to a person who is in a relationship with another person that can be broken only by death. So Paul is a slave to Jesus. Now, you've got to understand that to the first century Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter, anybody that's reading this letter in Philippi, it doesn't matter if they're Jewish, it doesn't matter if they're Gentile, this was hard to hear. Because somebody in the first century knew exactly what a slave was. So that word was a terrible, awful word to the first century ear. So Jew, Gentile, it didn't matter. A slave would be one of the worst insults that you could have given somebody. And that certainly is the case with Americans. Certainly a terrible insult to the American ear. Slavery, and rightfully so, is anathema in our culture. We don't like to even say the word slave or slavery. We have a terrible history in this American world, American culture, about slavery, the sin of slavery. And so to want to be a slave, that's just not a word that we even want to hear. It's anathema in our culture. But yet Paul, in the first century, same thing. That was not a word they wanted to hear. And yet Paul deliberately and proudly refers to himself as a slave. So what does he mean when he talks about it being a slave? Well, a slave is somebody who identified with his or her master. A slave's whole identity comes from their owner. We don't like that word. I said this morning in early worship, that word owner is a bad word to Americans, so we don't like to hear it. We don't even like to even say that we own our pets here in the American culture. We'll say things like, oh, I am, and talking about our dog, my dog, I'm his father. I'm her dad. Or she, you know, I am her mother. No, you are that dog's owner. We don't even like to use the word owner in talking about our pets. You can imagine how we feel about hearing the word slave. But a slave identified with his or her owner. That is to say, somebody owns me. And he said it proudly, deliberately. A slave is one who is obedient. In Luke 7, the Roman centurion said, I have the authority over my soldiers. I can say to this man, go, and he'll go. To another, come, and he'll come. To my servant, do this, and he'll do it. So that's the picture that Paul was trying to create when he called himself a slave. My owner owns me. Wherever he says I go, I go. Whatever he says to do, I do. A slave is one who is supplied by his or her master. A slave doesn't worry about clothes or food or housing and so on. That's all provided by the master. All of the things of life, that's given by the master. Now contrast that to the 12-hour worker in the parable of the generous landowner. All right, so I don't have time to go through the whole parable, but in that parable, there are those who have been asked to come and work for 12 hours, all day. So the man that owns the land, he comes and he says, does anybody need to work? Yeah, and they come and work all day. And he goes back to town and he sees some other workers. And he says, y'all want some work? And they say, sure. So he grabs them and they come and they work for half of the day. And then he goes back to town and he finds some that still want to work. He says, do y'all want to work? Sure. So they go and work for 1 hour. So you got the 12-hour worker, you've got the 6-hour worker, and then you've got the 1-hour worker. And then at the end of the day, the owner gives the same amount of money. He pays everybody the same amount. Well, you can imagine the 12-hour workers are just absolutely furious and they complain that they should have gotten more. Well, there are many, many things that we gain from that story and that parable. But one of the greatest points for our purposes today is that the workers misunderstand grace for fair. They somehow think that this thing called God's amazing grace is also something that is fair, and they could not have been more wrong. Grace has nothing to do with fair. Either God has lavishly poured out His grace on us, or we have done all that we have done, and God somehow owes us what we deserve. Our relationship with God is either based on grace or is a business transaction. It is either the attitude of Paul, a slave, or it is the attitude of the 12-hour workers. Hey, God, you owe me. I can't tell you the amount of times, conversations, counseling in the office, in all kinds of situations where it finally comes out that the problem that this person is having is the fact that they somehow, deep down, they don't want to admit it, they don't want to own up to it, but somehow what's really going on with them is that all that they've done for God, and this is what God has done back for them, that somehow God owes me. Not Paul. Paul said, I'm his slave. I'm in a prison cell and I don't know if I'm going to live or die. God owes me nothing. I'm his slave. And if I die here, this is exactly what he wants for me, his slave. That is the right biblical attitude. By the way, there's only one 12-hour worker. Let's just in case y'all need, I'm adding this part for free. There's only one 12-hour worker. One. His name is Jesus. And none of y'all are him. There's only one. Everybody in this sanctuary, we're all at best, we're the 1 hour workers. At best, we're going to make it into heaven simply and strictly because of God's unbelievable, amazing grace. Isn't it amazing that the arrogance of sinners, that when we read that great parable of the landowner, we somehow think that we're the 12-hour worker and that we're okay with the fact that God, in his infinite glory, is going to allow some people to get in, deathbed, you know, trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord, or the thief on the cross. Okay, well, we're okay with that. Well, isn't that wonderful that we're okay with that? You're not the 12-hour worker. And if you think you are, you're in big trouble. Paul realized, I'm a slave. I'm going to be in barely as the 1 hour worker who got in just strictly by grace and grace alone. He says, may our God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. That word grace means a favor done without expectation of return. Absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God. The motive is simply the free-heartedness of the giver. Grace is the Greek word elrein, and it means the absence or the end of all strife. So Paul says, unearned, unmerited favor, given and the end to all strife with the master because of what God has done for us in Jesus. Jerry Bridges said, this then is the gospel in which we need to become thoroughly familiar. Jesus, by his death and shed blood, completely satisfied the justice of God and the claims of his broken law. By his perfect obedience, he positively fulfilled the requirements of the law. Thus, in both its precepts and penalty, the law of God in its most exacting requirements was fulfilled by Jesus. And he did this in our place as our representative, as our substitute. Jerry Bridges said, and this will be familiar to you. So when I preach the gospel to myself every day, which is me and where I got that from, it means that I continually face up to my own sinfulness and then I flee to Jesus through faith in his shed blood and righteous life. It means that I appropriate again by faith the fact that Jesus fully satisfied the law of God and that God's holy wrath is no longer directed toward me. That is grace. What then is the gospel? None of us are declared righteous by observing the law. James says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Jesus fulfilled the law and all of its requirements. So when God saves us, he doesn't create some loophole in the spiritual legal system calling something righteous that's actually not. No, he bases it and declares us righteous based on the real accomplished work of one man, Jesus, in our place. That faith is received by faith. I say it all the time. Faith is simply the hand that receives the gift. It is available to everyone. And we are declared righteous by God through Jesus. Jesus' life and death are ours. So what Jesus did, we did. We are absolved of any charge of guilt and declared righteous because of Jesus. So unearned, unmerited favor and the end of all strife is yours, is mine. Because of what God has done for us in Jesus. Now, go back to verse 1. That's Paul's attitude. Unearned, unmerited favor, gift of life because of Jesus and only because of Jesus. Now, there's no more strife between God and me. All of my sin and all of my guilt has been removed. I am His. I will spend eternal life with Him because of Jesus. I have abundant life while I'm here on this earth because of Jesus. I have freedom from the condemnation of my sin, which I deserve, but I'm free from that condemnation because of Jesus. So Paul then says, now in return, I then am His slave. I owe Him everything. He has given everything. And that church is the gospel that the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi. I am His, and now He is mine. And that is only because of what God has done in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that gift. Father, thank you for the gift of life that is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you, Father, for the unearned, unmerited favor, grace, because of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the end of all strife because of Jesus. Now, in turn, what does it mean then to give my life back to you as a, Paul says, a slave? You are my owner. There's no other way. There's no other route. That's hard for the American ear to hear, and yet at the same time, spiritually speaking, there is no greater truth than the gospel, the good news. So even as Americans, may we hear spiritually the truth of what it means to be a slave to our owner. He has given everything. Everything we are, everything we have, is because of the gift that God has given to us in Jesus. Now in turn, what is our attitude back toward the one who's given life? May we trust you with all things today, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation is, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, then you have heard the good news of the gospel proclaimed. You've heard the gift of the gospel. So we want you to come and make that public profession today. If you need to come and join a church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and as we sing. Please be seated real quickly before we head on home. All right, first of all, we had Sean and Christy Deer join in our early worship this morning. They've been with us for about a year, and they decided today this is where they know that the Lord wants them to worship and serve. So the next time you see Sean and Christy, say a word of encouragement to them. All right, also, we had Miller Kuttner and his fiance, Eden Ponder. So they are getting married in June. Warren, our youth minister, is going to be marrying them right here in the sanctuary. And so they said today they know Christ as Savior and Lord and followed in believers' baptism. This is where they know that they want to worship and serve. here at First Baptist Church. So the next time you see that Eden and Miller, then you say a word of encouragement to them as they come to be at First Baptist Church. All right, what do we got? Our learning financial learning experience is March the 9th, 2 weeks from today, 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Greg Keel will be here with us from Enjoy Services. One of the things that they offer is an opportunity for those of us who are experiencing any anxiety, any problems, any issues when it comes to financials. So how can I be a biblical steward? How can I be a manager of the gifts that God has given to me in a way that is biblically accurate and true? So that will help anybody. It doesn't matter your age. It's not just for First Baptist Gunnersville. Anybody that you know that is struggling financially and they need some help, this will be a great opportunity for them, 4 to 6. Sign up. There's a QR code in the bulletin as well. You can hit that one on the screen, and it'll help you sign up. Or you just call Karen in the church office or Amy, and they'll sign you up as well. All right? Tomorrow, First Baptist Church in Albertville, Frank Jones, who is with us today, he is going to be with the senior adult event that's at First Baptist Church in Albertville. Breakout sessions. You see those breakout sessions as well. One of our own, Tinley Stewart, is going to be leading one of those breakout sessions. So that's tomorrow, 10 o'clock, senior adults, First Baptist Church, Albertville. That's going to be a lot of fun, all right? Next Sunday, soup luncheon for our youth group mission trip fundraisers going to Belize this summer. And so they had a fundraiser a couple of weeks ago. This is their second fundraiser, so soup next Sunday. Grab some to go or go eat it in the fellowship hall after this worship service. Help the youth go to Belize, all right? Ken? Don't have anything? All right. Frank Jones with us today. Frank Jones will be at his table outside. All of us, we'll have ushers. If I can get some ushers real quick to go to the back and to the side doors. And so when you leave, if you'll just drop a love offering in one of those where our ushers will be in the back or on the side door as you walk out. And then we love to help Frank Jones Ministry here at First Baptist Church. So if you give a love offering for that, we would appreciate you doing that. I know he would. You can also, if you have a check, you can make the check out to FJM, Frank Jones Ministries. You don't have to make it to our church, make it to FJM. He also has a square that does cards. If you'd like to give your card, that any way is perfectly fine. But we want you to help support Frank with love offering. All right, we're all going to close by standing and singing Victory in Jesus.